fighting for America.
It's very clear. If you're going to attack Americans, whether for criminal or national security purposes, we are going to hold you accountable, no matter what country you live in.
Fighting for Idaho.
52.5% are not in favor of the bike lane on Capitol Boulevard.
The cyclists don't follow the law. They ride in an unsafe fashion. They don't pay their way.
Fighting for you.
The EPA told Andy Johnson because he didn't get a permit with the Army Corps of Engineers, he violated the Federal Clean Water Act.
I can't even light a match out here and burn a weed. What they've done is they've turned us all into lawbreakers.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Hey, I just love your show.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, 580-5436. Kevin Miller with Mike Tracy here, taking a look at the big elections last night. We'll take your phone calls. Mike, what was the biggest takeaway that you saw from last night's election?
Well, what I saw was kind of a real insurgency or a real energized Tea Party base. They turned out. The majority of the incumbents won, but a lot of those races were, I think, tighter than people would have expected. One of those races that was pretty tight was the governor's race. I mean, it was a lot closer than I think folks expected. Also, the state controller's race was pretty close between Brandon Wolf and Todd Hatfield. I think that they were separated by 3,000 votes. That's less than about a couple, maybe 2 percentage points. So that was very close. And in the 2010 election, Todd Hatfield lost to Donna Jones in the primary 56-44%. So that gap is closed quite a bit by about 10 points from that previous election cycle and the last constitutional officer election cycle. We're going to see, if the Republicans win in the November general election, which is highly likely, we're going to see a change in the land board. Lawrence Denny, being the new Secretary of State, is going to change that office dramatically, and it's going to change the makeup of the land board, and I think that's going to be of real interest. The other thing is that another takeaway I had was how very close the superintendent of public instruction race was. I mean, it was almost 25, 25, 25, 25 between the four candidates. I mean, there was only a couple of points separating the candidates, and it looked like people just went in and rolled the dice. I don't think there was a lot of name ID and certainly not a lot of name recognition. I know that when I first heard the names several months ago, I had never heard of any of the candidates.
They didn't really jump out at me their debates or anything.
There were, I thought Andy Grover did a good job on some things. I personally thought he was had a really good chance of winning. Sherry, I think Ibarra is how you pronounce her name.
Ibarra. Yeah. Look, I'm not one to do name pronunciations, yeah, I'll tell you that.
She came out of nowhere. I mean, I was shocked when I saw that number.
Well, she's an administrator, she'll tell you.
Yeah, and she was not the Tea Party candidate.
Right.
So I think that was a surprise to a lot of people. So I think there were the Tea Party movement had some impacts out there. They just weren't as big as a lot of people thought they'd be. They did tighten some of the races up, though.
Mike Tracy with us as we continue on. Let's go to the phones. We go to Tea Party Bob, whose suspension has been lifted now at 580KIDO with Mike Tracy.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
How are you, Tea Party Bob?
Well, I don't know. Phil Hardy sent me an email congratulating me. I guess I won my race, but that's not a lot of solace to me since we lost the election. But I want to thank all of the candidates that ran, Fulcher, Chemlick, Troopas, Hatfield, and Einan. They put their lives on hold to show up and do a job, and I think that's...
You did. You put your career with us on hold.
Well, yes, indeed. And that's very important to me, as you know. I'm just kind of disappointed. The fact that the race was so close on the governor's side, I think shows us that with four of the largest Idaho counties, coming out and saying, hey, we think there's something wrong here. The governor should take note that evidently he hasn't been doing the job everybody's been expecting him to do, and there's a lot of discontent. And I think the Tea Party did have a lot to say in this election. I think they'll have a lot more to say, because if they don't show up to vote for him in the next election, he's going to have a real problem.
Well, let's bring Mike Tracy into the conversation on Tea Party Bob's points. Four of the largest counties did not go for the governor. Once again, resilient. The governor comes back. You think that the Tea Party, you said that the Tea Party was strong, but not strong enough to derail the governor.
Yeah, and I think Bob makes a good point that those four big counties went for Russ Fulcher, and there's clearly some discontent out there. The incumbency, the anti-incumbency attitude has been very strong the last couple of cycles. And I think we saw a lot of that in this particular case. There's no doubt. Well, and the other thing you have to look at is, you know, we went through a really bad economy during this tenure. I mean, there's been a lot of plus, you know, minuses, a lot of pluses in the economy in the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, when you're the governor, you take the heat for it. The buck stops with you, and so when there's someone or some to blame about something, the governor takes the heat on those things. And there's been some real challenges, and when budgets were cut and spending was cut, and we had to hold the line on things, a lot of people, you know, were frustrated with some of those decisions. And I think, and there was also, you know, those underwriting things with Common Core and Obamacare, the Idaho Healthcare Exchange. There's some real serious concerns there where people are very frustrated with that, and they don't like, people in Idaho do not like the federal government telling them what to do. This is a 10th Amendment state, and people take it very seriously.
Tea Party Bob?
Well, I tend to agree with them, and I do think that the governor has to take the hit for a lot of the things that have happened and the tenor of the people. I also think that you'll notice that Lawrence Denny did win his race because he had a lot of name recognition. Most of the other people that were running did not have the same recognition. And when you go out into a race and you've got twice as much money as your opponent or three times as much money as your opponent, then there's a good chance you're going to be able to buy that race one way or another.
Now, wait a minute. You and I talked the whole time before your suspension, and you said, money doesn't matter, Kevin Miller. Money doesn't matter, Kevin Miller. Are you flip-flopping?
Don't you go putting me down, my friend, because we did get the vote out.
You did?
We did get the vote out, and you saw that by the numbers. And I think that everybody who is back in that administration should thank God, because had we had another month or so and more money, this would have been a much different race.
Well, let me bring that up to Mike Tracy. Tea Party Bob, thank you. We'll see you Saturday.
Thank you. Take care.
How big was money in this?
Well, I think it played a role to a degree. But look at the Brian Smith-Mike Simpson race. There's a good example.
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute.
But money, a lot of money was spent there, and Mike Simpson still won very handily.
Was he 5-1 though over Brian Smith?
In terms of spending, yeah. I don't know what the final numbers were and what the independent expenditures on each behalf was,
But I have to ask you, Mike Tracy, and pardon the interruption here at 580 KIDO, is that the type of campaign? Let's just be abstract and philosophical and unicorns and rainbows. Is that really a type of campaign with respect to the congressman that he should be proud of? It wasn't, I'm Mike Simpson. It was, Brian Smith's a bad guy. I mean, we got envelopes with money.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody likes those negative campaigns. The very first big campaign I worked on in 1996 with Larry Craig and Walt Minnick was very negative.
Right.
I mean, it was every single day for 6 months. I was looking for another spear in my back. I literally didn't know where the arrows were going to come from that day. And it was negative, and maybe $5.5 million was spent between the two camps, and it was really, really negative. And I don't think anybody likes it. But negative campaigning is a part of of politics, and especially if somebody has negatives. I mean, you know, you could say who started throwing the negative first, you know, but there was a lot of negative on both sides, and once the negative war starts, both candidates, if they've got the money, they're going to push the negatives on the other person, and you saw plenty of that in that particular election.
Well, you've got me here. I'm looking at the blinky things here at 580KIDO. By the way, 580-5436, going over yesterday's primary results with political analyst Mike Tracy. How healthy is a candidate is Mike Simpson? He's got a lot of friends with a lot of money. One could argue, though, that if the odds were even, Brian Smith, as flawed as he was as a candidate, might be the next congressman.
Well, I think you have to...
You like the hypotheticals, I think?
Yeah, I mean, you have to... Even if the money was even, I think Mike would have still won that race, because
okay.
I think Mike is very popular. He's done a good job. Are there things that people would didn't like or have not liked over the period of his term? I would say yes. But what you have to look at is the full body of work. You can't just look at one vote. And that's part of what they try to point out in the campaign ads. You know, this vote or that vote. There's thousands of votes taken over a 16-year period. And I guarantee you the overwhelming majority of Mike's votes have been in line with the rest of the delegation. And we have one of the most conservative congressional delegations, and we always have in the last 20 years one of the most conservative congressional delegations in the country.
You know, it's fascinating, though. You look at Mike Simpson and you'll never outwork him.
No, Mike's a very hard worker, as evidenced by the fact that he is chairman of one of the appropriation subcommittees. He is in the top leadership. You don't get those positions by accident. You work really hard, and you develop relationships, and you build on those relationships, and it puts you in a position where you can get things done and you can accomplish things. And for Mike, you know, one of his signature accomplishments, and that one of the things he works on all the time is his support of INL, the nuclear site, very important to Idaho. My old boss used to really work hard to support the nuclear site because nuclear energy is still a very viable source of energy. And, you know, we're going to continue to have that research out there. And he's been very instrumental in keeping that not only operational, but one of the most important labs in the country.
Sure. 580KIDO. Mike Tracy, our guest, as we continue on. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Could Brian Smith have done anything?
I don't know. I really looked at what he did, and he tried to drive Mike's negatives immediately, and it didn't work. And that's if you go into a race, the first thing you want to do is you do some polling, and you look at what a person's negatives are, what people like and don't like. You look and see what the disparity in numbers are, what people's name ID is. How many people know who you are? That's a big part of it. And I think the Brian Smith camp, the only thing they saw that they could do is go negative on Mike and try to drive his negatives, and it just didn't work. And part of that is some of it didn't ring true to a lot of people. That, you know, the liberal label didn't ring true. And trying to hang that around Mike, it's just not the case. Is Mike the most conservative House member out of the U.S. Congress? No, but he's pretty conservative. And when you're from Idaho, if you're not conservative, you will get voted out. I mean, the conservatives had a good fair shot one on one. It was not three or four candidates, one to one, and Mike still won handily.
Coming up more with Mike Tracy here at 580KIDO, we'll go back to the governor's race and go over some of the other races of note and what it means for the general election. Never too soon to be worried about politics here. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
I remember when Raul was running for the House of Representatives the first time, and he came to me and asked me to endorse him, and I jumped on board and I helped out. But if he would have just called and said, hey, Butch, you need to know that I'm going to endorse Russ, but there was no phone call.
must-hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
From our interview last week with Governor Otter, Mike Tracy with us here, a moment of honesty, a moment of realness there from Governor Otter talking about his disappointment with the congressman.
Yeah, it is. It really is a courtesy thing, Kevin. I was with a candidate who received a call from another candidate who won his election to let him know that he was going to endorse his opponent. And, you know, that's the correct thing to do. And I think that the congressman should have made that phone call. I would have done that just as a matter of courtesy. Especially since Butch has stepped up and endorsed him as well. I think you got to make those kinds of phone calls. They're difficult phone calls to make, but I think a courtesy call like that's important.
Do you think this adds to the feud between the two that we thought that had kind of simmered off?
Well, I don't know that the feud you can.
So you're
call
such, you're so shrewd. You don't even let you know. You've already dismissed my word. That's good, though.
No, you can call it a feud if you want to, but.
Well, really, he won't be invited over to Star for the horse. Thing.
They're not. You're probably not going to see him at Butch events necessarily. But
right.
What you have here is you really have a split between Congress and state government.
Right.
And they really. They don't work together near as much as people think, just because they're both elected officials, they're at a very high level in the state. But my work, both with the governor and working on the congressional side, there's not as much overlap as you would think. Our four members are back in D.C. most of the time. And, yes, the governor can call on the delegation. And, if something's in the best interest of Idaho, you're going to see Raul and Butch work together. That's just going to happen. There will be times that they disagree. You can call it a feud if you want to. There's in politics, someone told me a long time ago, as the longer you're in, the more enemies you gather. I don't know if that's so true, but Butch has been in office for a long time, and he still managed to have a lot of popularity. And Raul has gained a lot of popularity very quickly with the Tea Party group, the more conservative part of the first congressional district. The numbers, against his opponents, he won handily. I mean, I think he had almost 80% of the vote. He had three or four unknown opponents.
Yeah, he had no serious opposition.
Right.
But, at 580 KIDO, let's move on a little. Do you think that the results would have been different in the highly competitive Secretary of State's race if there had been three or two candidates as opposed to four?
In the Secretary of State's race, absolutely. If there had been just two candidates, I think that Lawrence Denny may not have won that race. I think if one of the other three, whether it had been Mitch Toriansky or Phil McGrane or Evan Frazier, there was a lot of folks in the, for lack of a better word, in the establishment group that didn't want to see Lawrence in, we're working against that. And I think if it hadn't been split four ways, I think you could have seen a very different outcome.
What's next for Mr. Belukov? It appears that he will be the one issue candidate. He's doing a lot of social media, a lot of Democratic appearances. And claiming that, he's known in Boise as, being on the school board and such, but it looks like he's going to ride that education train.
Well, a lot of candidates have tried to ride the education train on the Democrat side unsuccessfully. There's pockets in the state of Idaho, Latah County, Blaine County, the north end of Boise. There's pockets of Democrats in the state, but the overwhelming majority of the people in Idaho want a more conservative approach on education. They want local control, and education is not the only issue that people think about. It is one of the issues that people think about. Being able to feed your family is pretty important. Taxes, pretty important. Having a job is pretty important to people. If you don't have a job, the rest of it doesn't mean a whole lot to folks. And I think being a one issue candidate like that makes it very difficult. And again, he has a more liberal message, and I just don't believe that plays well in Idaho. Idaho is 65 to 70% Republican. I've seen it over and over and over again. Unless there's some kind of wild swing in November, I think there's going to be a big Republican sweep, not only in Idaho but across the country, because people right now are not very happy with the Democrat Party.
Mike Tracy, we appreciate it. I'm trying to look at anything else. Anything else that we can take away from the primary? People were, you know, people. A lot of folks said that more people should have voted, but I think the people that did, it was quality over quantity. And we had a lot of good candidates, whether you were, you know, establishment or Tea Party or whatever. I think the process succeeded just by making some of these incumbents on the Republican side work.
Yeah, there was a lot of work that was done. I really saw people working the Lincoln days and working events for the last 4, 5, 6 months really hard. I mean, it was very intense work out there on the ground in every region of the state. And the other race that I think is going to be really interesting, where I think the Democrats think that they have a really good shot, will be the superintendent of public instruction. You know, that particular seat is swung back and forth between Democrat and Republican, and you've got now a relative unknown with Sherry Ybarra. She was an unknown coming into the primary. She's unknown going into the general, pretty much, against Jana Jones, who back in 2006 did pretty well against Tom Luna. She lost by about 1.5 percentage points in 2006. So that's going to be a really interesting race.
We've got about 20 seconds left here at 580KIDO. Will the conservatives come back home in November?
Oh, absolutely. I think you'll have the Republican Party will unify, and they will support Republicans of all stripes, and you'll see people going up and down the ticket and pulling the or filling in for the R. I think you'll see that. We see it over and over again. Even when people are upset with each other, they still come home.
Mike Tracy, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's go to Roger Batt from the Idaho Weed Awareness Campaign. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm all right. So let's talk about these dangerous weeds here at 580KIDO.
Well, thank you, Kevin, very much. Thanks for having us on this morning. This week, we're actually celebrating Idaho Noxious and Invasive Weed Awareness Week. This was a week that was designated by the Idaho legislature this last session. The bill was actually passed and signed into law to allow a specific period of time to educate Idaho citizens about the serious impacts of noxious and invasive weeds to our economy, our waters, lands, and agriculture, and to also spur Idahoans to take action against these unwanted invaders. Noxious and invasive plants are a serious threat to Idaho's economy, and they cause an estimated $300 million in direct damages. This also includes the cost to fight fires on rangelands and forests due to the spread of invasive plants such as cheatgrass that supply fuel for range fires, which also results in the destruction of sage grass habitat and productive grazing lands for our livestock producers.
Now, most people think of weeds as, you know, the dandelions and that are harmless, but these weeds can cause damage to your lawn, your property, and your water.
Absolutely, Kevin. They sure can. In fact, Idaho has 66 varieties of noxious weeds, and Idahoans spend about $25 million a year to try to control and manage these weeds across the state. This week and throughout the summer, we want to encourage all Idaho citizens to take an active role in the battle to control and manage noxious and invasive weeds and to ask for their help. And there are a number of tools that Idahoans can use to do their part in trying to halt the ongoing spread of noxious and invasive weeds in the state. And some of these also include learning to identify noxious and invasive weeds that may show up on private property or maybe your favorite camping, hunting, or fishing sites, so that potential invaders can be identified and reported to land and wildlife managers, your county weed superintendent, or the Idaho State Department of Agriculture. We're also asking for citizens to become aware of the noxious weed law. This is important because the weed law requires all landowners to control and manage noxious weeds on their lands. Idaho's weed law requires noxious weeds are to be controlled on public and private land by the individual, company, or agency that owns the land. And we also ask if citizens, when they're out and about, if they would avoid traveling through weed-infested areas with ATVs and other off-road vehicles, as this helps prevent the spread of noxious weeds and weed seed into new areas. You know, Kevin, I don't know how many times I've had to pull puncture vine seeds out of my tires with my four-wheeler, but that's just kind of an example of how weeds can be spread from one area to another. We're also asking for Idaho citizens not to pick and transport pretty flowers that they cannot identify, as they may be inadvertently spreading seeds of an attractive noxious weed. There are many noxious weeds that actually get planted into landscapes as ornamental plants, and then they escape as a result. By checking boats, trailers, and watercraft carefully after they are pulled from the water for signs of aquatic plants, such as Eurasian water milfoil, including pumping your bilge, also helps prevent spreading aquatic noxious weeds into other water bodies. Kevin, one of the most useful tools for Idahoans to utilize, besides our website, which is IdahoWeedAwareness.com, is to acquire a copy of Idaho's Noxious Weed Booklet. Now, this booklet is about 115 pages. It has a lot of different color photos into it, but it identifies all of Idaho's 66 listed noxious weed species, and it actually can be a lifesaver when it comes to telling the difference between noxious weeds and Idaho's native vegetation. And Idahoans can get a free copy of that booklet by going to our website at IdahoWeedAwareness.com or by calling our Weed Awareness hotline number, and the number to that is 1-844-WEEDS-NO. That's 1-844-WEEDS-NO.
Roger, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You have a good day, sir.
You too.
All right, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, we go to our great friend, perhaps the next state senator, Tony Sinesco.
Oh, boy, 5.5 months. 5.5 months of walking. Well, wasn't yesterday wild and exciting? How come it takes so long to get the information in from the Secretary of State? It's amazing.
Well, that'll be changing now.
Well, I hope so. But, you know, I just want to encourage everybody out there. My most favorite scripture in the world, it says, all things work to the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So, you know, for all of those who woke up this morning and are a bit bummed out about yesterday's events, pray that prayer. Pray that scripture, because I think good is going to come from this. And I think we're realizing that that we need to do it from the inside, coming at it from the outside, from groups that can be made fringe groups by the press. I think we actually just need to get more involved in the Republican Party and go with that route.
Tony, what was your takeaway besides that, though?
My takeaway? The headlines yesterday, not the headlines, but on the, you know, above the fold on the Statesman was stating that Wilson and Otter were facing the Tea Party. And I think that there probably is states it as it is. It is alienation by being considered fringe elements in this. And so I think we just, everyone needs to get involved a little bit more than we did in our regular Republican Party and work from the inside. But be encouraged, everybody. We've got another election coming up in 5.5 months, and things will get better.
And you'll be on the trail.
I'll be on the trail.
Thank you, Tony.
Have a blessed day.
All right, our great
See
friend.
You,
Take care,
Bye.
Sir. All right. Our great friend Tony Sinesco, Terry in State College, Pennsylvania, with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, if it wasn't Mr. Negative from yesterday.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of wounds that are going to be licked, so to speak. And Tony just so much echoed, you know, what I wanted to say. Okay, you know, we had a sparring match, and that's really what this was in a primary. You know, but the battle's just ahead. And just want to encourage everybody to get on your feet, you know, pull that chin up and get ready, because it's going to be a tough one. You know, and we've got even bigger issues than that facing us, you know, here in Idaho and here in, you know, our country. But it's, as the old saying goes, it's time to rock and roll, because things aren't going to get easier. They are. They're going to get more and more difficult. We need to be ready to face that. And if we face it together, we're going to do a whole lot better. So,
what does it say about the election, though? That the, you know, breaking it down, the governor lost the four biggest counties in the state, but still won handily.
Well, you know, I think we heard it earlier too, though. He, know, he did well in the cowboy vote. You know, I live out here in Owyhee County, and as I listen, you know, they are staunch, you know, Governor Otter fans. And Folger, who's he, so forth, so on. You know, I think if Senator Folger had gotten out on the trail sooner and had been able to keep his self awake, poor guy was running to death, and get into more small groups, you know, I think he would have had more success. But it's a tough enough thing, you know, just running a campaign, let alone stretching it out further than what is, you know, what is usual. I don't know. We'll see. I just hope everybody unites now, gets it together, and we all move forward together.
Either that or it's Belukov City. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Our great friend Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, more of your phone calls. Are you satisfied with last night's election results? First, traffic at 580 K.
For MZ, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We go to Scott in Boise. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Kevin. I'm going to start off saying I appreciate listening to your show. I listen to you every morning on the way to work. I'm really disappointed with the results yesterday. But I'm encouraged that there was such a good run made against the establishment in the Republican Party. I had hoped that Russ Folger would do better. But, you know, it is what it is. And I'm going to be looking at A.J. Belukov for governor. I just think Butch Otter is a poor choice for the state. I don't think he's done good things for the state. I think he's just there because he was the good old boy who has just always been there. So he's next in line for office. And when he's gone, they'll try to put Brad Little in. And they'll just go down the line with the people who are the good old boys rather than who's right for the state.
Is there anything that could change your mind, Scott?
Is there anything you can do to change my mind?
Yes.
Well, like I said, I'm going to look closer at A.J. Belukov and see exactly where he stands. I know he's a good man. I have some acquaintances who know him. And if his stances are in the right place, I'll vote for him. I'm not just going to vote party lines. I generally vote Republican. More for the conservative values, but I'm really tired of the good old boy network rather than what's right for the state. So, yeah, there's a chance my mind will change, but right now I'm open to all options.
Scott, thank you for the call, and thank you for the nice comments and for listening, sir.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. We appreciate a great call there by Scott. We're joined by Ronnie from Caldwell at 580KIDO.
I know, dude. It's been a long time, man. How you doing?
How do you think I'm doing? I'm talking to you.
You sound pretty sad, dude. And I have an idea, man, because, you know, most people are pretty stupid. I mean, let's face it, man. If they were to do something on the next primary election, man, more like a American Idol Dancing with the Stars kind of thing.
So you're giving us your political analysis.
Dude, I think it's the only way it'll work. People don't pay attention these days, dude, and I think if, for instance, Folger would have been able to sing better, look better, dance better, he may have had a chance at winning because...
That's preposterous.
I know it's preposterous, dude, but something you say a lot that...
How can we really attempt to take you seriously with that goofy scenario?
I know, dude. I know it's goofy, but here's the thing, Millie. Just like you said, most people are checkout Charlies, and if you go to the store today and you ask...
Yeah, I get where you're going. I, you know, your logic makes sense. You're correct. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm wrong.
I know. Usually I am, dude. If you go to the store today and you ask people about the race for governor, they don't know. They won't be able to answer. 9 out of 10 won't know what you're talking about, dude. But if you ask them, hey, who won The Voice last night? They'll be able to tell you.
And we're going to go. Stay with us, Ronnie. Quickly, a minute left to Pro-Life at 580KIDO with Ronnie and Kevin.
Yeah, you know, if Ronnie was running, he'd get a lot of votes because that's where the people are at. They're just into entertainment. But, you know, back in the little villages, back in the far reaches of Idaho.
And we don't have time for the little villages. We've got 10, 20 seconds.
That was on the TV running for governor?
You missed it. He called Butch Otter a wimp to his face right in front of me the other day, Ronnie.
I know. Dude,
I thought the governor was going to pop him.
You know what? You've got something wrong with you, sir. You can never stay on topic. It's like you're saying one thing, and then all of a sudden.
Are you, yes. Speaking of which.
He just goes abortion.
On that note, traffic. Sorry, right. Pro-life. See you, Ronnie. 580-KIDO. Good morning, Dave. And coming up, we'll be at Sage International School tomorrow, promoting our school, securing our future with CapEd. On Friday, the secrets of the real-life Iron Men, not fiction, military soldiers looking like superheroes. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Serving Emmett.